Good morning. You may be seated. The first case is 10-235, State of Ohio versus Ford. Mr. Shook.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor and Justices, and may it please the court. My name is Christopher Shook, and I am the attorney for the appellant, Aaron Ford. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch your time, Mr. Shook.
Thank you. This matter is before the court upon the following certified question: whether the offense of discharging a firearm at or into a habitation and a firearm specification under Revised Code Section 2945.145 are allied offenses of similar import as defined by Revised Code Section 2945.25A. The appellant submits that the answer to this question is yes. And at the outset, I'm going to go ahead and get down right to what I believe to be the heart of the appellee's argument in this case. The state of Ohio has argued, and the lower court held, that a firearm specification is not an offense such that the allied offense statute would apply in this case. And the appellant would specifically dispute that finding. Appellant submits that when you have a firearm specification attached to a felony, in that situation, there are two offenses. There is the felony, and then there is the second offense, which is the felony plus the firearm specification.
But doesn't the statute say that the penalty enhancement is a specification to be attached to an indictment for an offense?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So it's a penalty enhancement. It's not a separately indictable crime. Do you agree with that?
I would agree that the firearm specification standing alone, yes, is not a separate indictable crime, yes.
So how do you equate that with an offense that can be indicted?
Well, it's interesting because, as you alluded to, it's a sentencing enhancement. And as the Court of Appeals found, it's a sentencing enhancement. But in this very narrow situation with this specific charge, the firearm specification is not an enhancement of the charge itself, because the charge, in order to commit it, the offender must always have a firearm on or about their person and use it to commit the offense. So the firearm itself does nothing to enhance the offense, and therefore I think that calling it a sentencing enhancement is an incorrect classification.
But the legislature hasn't made that exception, have they?
Well, I think it comes down to a matter of legislative intent. Did the legislature intend for this specific offense for the firearm specification to apply? Did the legislature intend a firearm specification to attach to an offense where the firearm is already required in order to commit the offense itself?
Is there any language in the Allied Offense Statute that you could point me to that would equate a penalty enhancement with an offense?
Yes, I believe so. And I think if we look directly at the language of the penalty enhancement statute, in this case 2945.145, it says that the firearm specification attaches when the offender has used a firearm while committing the offense. And it's interesting that in this case, or it also says to facilitate the commission of the offense. And it's interesting to look at the word the phrase to facilitate, because I would interpret that to mean that it assists in the commission of the offense. But with respect to this charge, improper discharge of a firearm into a habitation, a firearm doesn't assist in the offense. A firearm is required to commit the offense, and therefore it provides no assistance. It's an essential element in and of itself within the offense. And so if we look specifically at that language where it says to facilitate, it indicates the legislature's intent that the firearm itself is an aggravating factor of the offense, and that's why it would normally attach and increase the potential penalty that the defendant or the offender would face.
Are there not exclusions, certain offenses that are excluded from the added specification in the statutes?
That is correct, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the improper discharge of a firearm into a habitation is not included in that subsection of exclusions. It's included in the statute under subsection D1C, and that's 29294D1C, mm-hmm. in which it specifically references section 2923.161, this offense, in which it states that it specifically does apply to a firearm specification of the type described in section 2941.146 that charges the offender with committing offense by discharging a firearm from a motor vehicle. And there you have an additional fact. You now have the discharge of a firearm from a motor vehicle. And I guess we'd use that more in common sense terms as a drive-by shooting. And the legislature has determined that that makes this type of offense more aggravating if the firearm is discharged from a motor vehicle. And that additional fact in and of itself would create, as what Justice O'Donnell alluded to, a sentencing enhancement, something that enhances the seriousness of the offense.
So if this firearm in this situation, if the defendant was driving by and shot into the home, you wouldn't be here arguing?
No, I would not.
But because he walked up and shot into the home, that's the distinction?
That is the distinction, Your Honor.
What about the distinction you fire into a home, and under your theory, you're using the weapon, it's not an additional. But if you fire in the home and then you hit somebody in the home and it's now a felonious assault or some other similar charge, you now get the enhancement for the gun. There seems to be an inconsistency there. How do you explain that?
Well, if you have a felonious assault charge, that's an offense that can be committed without a firearm. You can cause serious physical harm to another person without using a weapon. You could choke the person. You could punch the person. You could use your own physical body to cause that type of harm. But the legislature, with the use of the firearm specification, has determined that when you cause that serious physical harm with a firearm, it's more serious, it's aggravated, and thus your penalty should be enhanced.
But isn't the purpose of the legislature to try to discourage the use of firearms in any capacity because of that increased risk of harm? I mean, just, you know, but for the grace of God, you didn't shoot anybody, it didn't hit anybody, but you are still using a firearm, and that is the purpose of the enhancement, is to say if you use it in any capacity, you're going to serve more time. And isn't that the philosophy, and doesn't your theory cut against that philosophy?
Well, I don't think so, because when we look at this specific charge, and yes, I would agree, I think the General Assembly has certainly decided that offenses that are committed with firearms are more serious than other types of offenses. And that's why this particular charge, discharging a firearm into a habitation, is a second-degree felony. That's a very serious offense that carries a maximum of up to 8 years in prison. And I think it's fair to assume that the General Assembly took into account the fact that a firearm is used in that offense when creating the level of that felony and its accompanying maximum prison term. And so I think that it's already built into this offense and its penalty, and that the additional firearm specification is more just piling on top.
So are you saying that if an offense has a firearm element to it, because that's what you're saying this particular case has, then there should not be a specification for a firearm added because it's a duplication of the firearm element? Is that what you're saying?
Correct, because I believe that what the purpose behind this firearm specification was supposed to be is that you have a felony plus. You have a felony plus the use of a firearm and the commission of that felony. However, when you have an offense where a firearm is required, there is no plus. You just have the felony. You could attach a firearm specification to that type of offense anytime the prosecution wanted to or didn't want to.
Although the specification itself does not exclude the felony we're talking about here.
That is correct. And I think that the reason for that being, and again, as I cited to subsection D1C, is that they wanted to make sure that this type of offense was subject to the drive-by shooting specification, discharging a firearm from a motor vehicle into a home. And they make specific mention of that in that subsection D1C, that specific firearm specification, the drive-by shooting specification, applies to this offense.
It sounds to me like you're making more of a double jeopardy or double punishment argument. Is that your position?
I think it's, as this court has stated many times, most recently in State v. Williams and State v. Underwood, The purpose behind the Allied Defense Statute was that the General Assembly wanted to codify the principles of double jeopardy. So
the difficulty I'm having with your argument is you want to equate a penalty enhancement with an offense. Mm-hmm. And the legislature has defined in the revised code all of the offenses, and they haven't defined a firearm specification as a separately indictable offense. So I'm having difficulty with the allied offense argument that you're presenting, particularly because 290103B says an offense is defined when one or more sections of the code state a positive prohibition or enjoin a duty or provide penalty for violation of a prohibition or failure to meet a duty. And the penalty for enhancing a crime with a firearm specification doesn't meet that definition of an offense.
Well, it's Mr. Ford's position that, in, at least with respect to this type of charge, this type of charge and this narrow issue, that the firearm specification operates in every sense of the term as an offense. It's something that must be presented to the jury, proven beyond a reasonable doubt. It's something that the offender can plead guilty to. But yet, in this case, he's automatically guilty if you find him guilty of the offense itself. There is no additional fact that the jury needs to find him guilty of. The fact is built in to the offense itself. So in this narrow issue, it operates as a separate offense.
And you'd say that would be true, then, in response to Justice Stratton's question, if there were a crime of felonious assault.
Correct. I think that as I stated at the beginning, there are two offenses any time that you have a firearm specification. So if you have a felonious assault, you have the felonious assault and the felonious assault plus. And with the felonious assault plus, there is an additional fact that you need to prove in order to get that additional prison term, that additional sentence, an additional fact that the jury needs to find.
You think there's other offenses other than this specific offense where the firearm specification equates to an offense such that it can't be imposed and they are allied offenses?
There are other statutes under the weapons chapter that do specify firearms, and I would say that it would apply
to those offenses. So any offense that specifies a firearm, in your view, is allied with a firearm specification?
Correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And with that, I will reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Mr. Shook. I'm sorry, Mr. Houston.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice. Justices, good morning. Dan Houston on behalf of the State of Ohio and the Licking County Prosecutor's Office. Naturally, the state does accept the limited premise that a firearm specification is not a standalone offense. It is not an offense at all. It is simply a sentencing enhancement. I think you can look at that in a variety of aspects, but most importantly, in the placement of the codes. It is a clause initially located in the indictment section of the Ohio Revised Code, the penalty and sentencing provision under section 29, 2914D strictly applies only to penalties and sentencings, and it applies for a mandatory, in this case, a mandatory 3-year penalty that the court shall impose pursuant to the language in the indictment.
Counsel, isn't this just a little like deja vu all over again? It's to me, this is really not about allied offenses of similar import. The question is, should it be in the indictment at all? I think that's really what he's arguing about, and it seems to me questionable that this is an offense for which you should include in the indictment the mandatory 3-year penalty enhancement.
If I understand your question correctly, you're asking more along the lines of this is a public policy issue or a legislative intent issue. The issue that has been certified for this court today is the argument in the specific topic of, is it an allied offense subject to merger? I respectfully submit it is not. You then move to the next issue of, is it appropriate? And I think that's clearly defined by the intent of the legislature. They have listed a whole series of specifications, not just firearms, but certain offenses warrant specific and enhanced penalties. That's a legislative intent. That's a legislative policy that has been placed before this court, before the trial courts, and before prosecutors. And
but a firearm enhancement for the use of a firearm is, it just, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I would respectfully disagree. There are certain offenses that obviously you cannot commit the offense of improper discharge of a firearm into a habitation without the utilization of a firearm. I grant you that. Having said that, that fact pattern and the fact pattern that is before this court, the legislature has deemed is subject to a sentencing enhancement. If you shoot into a house, that's an F2 offense. Also, you are subject to a one-year spec.
You can commit an armed robbery without a firearm.
Absolutely.
You can do a lot of things that are F1s, F2s, without a firearm. But if you brandish a firearm or have one on your possession, then you get the 3 years tacked on.
That's
what the statute does. That's what it was intended to do.
Yes. If you have one on your possession and do not utilize it, it is a one-year specification. If you brandish, display, facilitate, or use, as in this case, it's a three-year specification. If there is a silencer, some type of application, it's a six-year specification. And in this case, we're talking about the three-year specification. I think it is clear with the comment on legislative intent, certain offenses have specifically been excluded, as already have been mentioned. You cannot get a firearm specification for carrying a concealed weapon. You cannot get a specification for improper conveyance of a firearm into a detention facility. You cannot get a firearm specification for weapons under disability. Those are specifically excluded by statute and by the legislature.
Isn't the distinction there is those are mere possession of firearms, where this is the utilization of the firearm, which would be a distinction behind the policy that's been stated in section D1E.
Well, I think the conveyance is more than just a possession charge. You're doing an affirmative act of
bringing that. You're not discharging
that.
It, though. And
right.
I think that's the distinction that I see and might be behind the legislative intent why there is an enhancement here with the spec. But are we here to argue whether or not this is a policy that is a good policy or that's not what we're here for. We're only here to determine whether or not these are allied offenses of similar import, not the wisdom of a firearm spec being attached.
I would certainly agree with that premise. The issue on conflict is not a public policy question. It is a statutory interpretation and application of the statutes as set forth by the legislature. One other issue on the legislative intent, there was some comment earlier on the drive-by shooting analogy. There is a six-year specification that would apply. My reading of that statute, again, we're talking 29.29.14.D1C, applies that the legislator says you can get a six-year specification, and in addition, you can get the 1, 3, or 5. Section B specifically excludes the layering of firearm specifications. You can only get a 1, 3, or 5 year specification as defined in the firearm specification statute itself and as defined in the sentencing parameters of 29.29.14. Again, a clear expression of the legislative intent that you only get 1, 3, or 5. But if you do a drive-by, there's a 6 year spec and the court shall impose, if included in the indictment, one of the other options of 1, 3, or 5. Those are all public policy determinations that have been made, and I respectfully submit that that is the legislature's role, and that is something that is a valid role for that body.
Counsel,
the legal question is different.
Counsel, getting to the legal question, this is a second degree felony in this case. Is there a mandatory imprisonment term for this one?
Without
the spec?
Right. Without the specification, no. With the specification, the court shall impose first and foremost a three-year specification. That then is going to require at least a minimum sentence of 2 years on top of that. So by the inclusion of the spec, yes, it in essence defaults into a mandatory prison sentence. But minus that specification, there's no mandatory sentence within the range of 2 to 8 years.
So one purpose for the legislature to include it, the firearm specification in this offense would be to ensure that there is a mandatory prison term.
Yes. You cannot, by operation of law, receive a prison sentence of 3 years on the specification and then community control on top of that three-year specification. It is required to be imposed in conjunction with a prison sentence. So yes, again, that is another example of the policy decision with those specifications. With that, unless there are any further questions, thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Shook, you've reserved about 3 minutes for your rebuttal.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice.
I have a question on the specifications. If you were to be shooting this firearm and you added a silencer, would you be subject to the 6 year for using a silencer?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe so, because you have the additional fact of using the silencer, which the legislature has deemed to make that type of offense more serious. And so that's an additional fact that the jury could find.
So even though this, that silencer is in the same language as the three-year gun spec, we can somehow carve that out and say this one applies but the three-year doesn't?
Yes, I believe so, because it's not something that is built into the offense itself. It's the offense under 2923.161 is discharge of a firearm. It doesn't specify whether that firearm or what type of firearm it might be, or that it has a silencer. And then that specification indicates that if a person uses a silencer, the legislature has deemed the offense to be more serious. And so when we take it back to the three-year specification, the legislature has deemed it to be more serious if you use a firearm. However, for this offense, you always need to use one.
So there's no separate finding by the jury. Is that what you said?
That would be my position, Your Honor.
Well, is that accurate, though, in this case?
Yes, I think that it's if the jury finds an offender of this type of charge guilty, they automatically find them guilty of firearm specification, unless there's some type of
separate finding of the jury, correct?
There is.
So.
But it would be
No different than any other spec that the jury has to find.
It would in this case, because it would be an inconsistent verdict to find the defendant guilty of improper discharge of a firearm and then not find them guilty of the firearm specification.
But they're still required to make the finding.
That is correct, Your Honor. It is the appellant's decision that if the Court of Appeals decision is affirmed, it will create a situation in which the state of Ohio may arbitrarily decide to attach this type of specification to this offense. They're not required to do so, but they certainly may choose, and the distinction between when they do that is not something that can be held to them. And we see that in this case. If we see page 5 of the Court of Appeals decision, the procedural history of this case indicates that the state of Ohio originally indicted Mr. Ford without the specification, later dismissed the indictment and attached the specification. They didn't need any additional facts to do that. They just needed to make that choice. And that creates a situation in which we have shotgun-type convictions, which this court has said repeatedly in State versus Rance, State versus Williams, most recently, I believe, in State versus Johnson, in which that was something that the Allied Offense Statute was designed to prevent shotgun convictions. And with that, thank you very much.
Thank you.